fucking need a legging. He fucking need a legging. He fucking need a legging. Hello.
Ich kenne den Soldaten. Ich kenne den Mann.
Halte die Schnauze.
Abbrennen.
What is going on, man? It's your boy Crimson. Corporal Upham. What could be said about this motherfucker? Throughout the whole movie, he was just fucking up, right? He was supposed to be a linguist. Or, a typist. Although I have no idea. Or a translator, excuse me. I have no idea, like, why they would make him a typist if he was a translator. But it's a very important character, and one that I relate to strongly, as much as I wish I could relate to other characters in the movie. I related to Corporal Upham as a kid a lot. In the beginning of the movie, you know, he was a complete fuck up, a clumsy klutz, just fucking up all over the place, right? And then he says some chimey rhymey shit, which in one of my other videos I touched on. And for those of you who don't know what chimey rhymey means, it means when somebody is saying something heartfelt, people tend to chime in with some kind of fucking rhyme that has nothing to do with what is being said. You completely overlook the situation and the complexity of the conversation with some fucking stupid-ass rhyme. For those of you who remember that scene where, you know, the soldiers are kind of, like, asking the question of the levity of the mission, like, the importance of it. Like, what is this purpose of, you know, the bunch of us trying to save this one fucking guy. And then, you know, I think the doc ends up saying something to the effect of, like, well, think about the poor bastard's mother. And then, I forget the guy with the, he has the bar. I forget his fucking name, but he's like, well, what the fuck? Like, all of us have mothers. And then, Corporal fucking Upham just decides to chime in with some stupid bullshit of, like, there is no reason why, but there is but to do or die. the other fucking corporal goes, la 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 la. Chimey rhymey. Chiming in with some fucking stupid rhyme that has nothing to do with the conversation. Like, you're overlooking the complexity of the conversation with some stupid fucking rhyme. And here's the thing. I used to be that kid. I used to chime in with some fucking stupid bullshit and just completely overlook the, and just becoming insufferable. I remember, like, my bosses used to look at me like, dude, who the fuck is this guy? Like, why would you pick a blue-collar job? That's not how we function here. Like, right now, we're trying to fucking focus on trying to get this shit done, and you're over here trying to explain to me the logistical fucking failures? I don't want to hear this shit. I want to hear how the fuck are we going to get this done on time, right? They would just give me that look of just disappointment. And I never knew where that came from, and I just kind of accepted it, like, oh, well. And then there was, like, that moment, right? The notorious moment. Ah, oh, fuck. It still guts me. Ooh, we shouldn't use that. where Upham was supposed to deliver the ammunition, and then the fucking guys get overrun or overpowered because they have no fucking, they have no bullets. The guy gets stabbed. and then the guy just passes up, you know, up him in the stairway. There's been moments like that in my life. And, maybe not quite with the same tone, if that makes any sense, but it's something similar. Where it's just failure after fucking failure after fucking failure. And then, that notorious scene where, like, Corporal Upham gives that fucking Nazi officer, you know, the benefit of the doubt. He just fucking, you know, lets him live. And then the guy ends up fucking betraying him by getting back into another unit and then just fucking just slaughtering other fucking American soldiers. And then Corporal Upham just tells him, like, you know, when he holds, well, here, right, in this scene where he holds them all up, he's telling them to put their hands up, and then one of them goes, you know, I know this soldier. And then Upham tells him to shut the fuck up, and what does the guy do? Tries to bond with them, like, oh, you know, Upham. And he fucking just shoots his ass. That's the character arc. Right? He does a very tough decision in that moment because he's had enough. And I related to that. Cause there was a time when I had to pull that shit. That's why I fucking love Corporal Upham. Even though I despise him as a character. I think we all do. I think that's fair to say. Like, we don't despise him as a character, but, like, fuck, dude. There's got to be some part of us that relates to him. Like, I hate to say it. That's the way that, how about this? Let me just talk about myself. I hate to say it, but I fucking relate to Corporal Upham because I was him. Like, I hate that I fucking like him. I hate that I like him in this movie. Like, I just can't, like, I fucking, it boils my blood that I have to like him. I wish I was like the sniper, right? I wish I was that guy. You know, he gets blown up by a fucking tank. And he has nothing but values and virtues, and he's just like the quiet fucking gray man. I wish I was, well, I mean, I'm that guy now. It sucks that it took me so long to be that. But as far as Corporal Upham goes, like, I, you know, like, the reason why I'm bringing up this video is because I brought up a topic before. It's like what a narcissist does to get you to fucking stay in the relationship that continues the cycle of abuse. I said something before. So, like, when a narcissist basically puts you in a position where they compromise your character, not compromise your character, basically they put you in a position where they're like, they just don't respect you anymore. They don't see you as respectable. And so they start disrespecting you. And then you have to stand your ground. And you have to gain your respect back. And it's usually in fucking really abusive ways. Not physically, but just emotionally and verbally. Because that is the only fucking language that they understand, is emotional violence. You have to put your foot down. You have to fucking, you know, start to put your walls up, and you have to fucking do all this shit, and you have to, or excuse me, you know, talk to them in a very assertive manner. You have to fight, you have to literally fight back with their fucking technique in order to get them to fucking act right. And then once their emotions have, like, you know, maxed out, now they got their dopamine hit, and it's like, oh, now you respect me. And then they're like, oh, okay, I'm sorry. And then they start to love you again. Like, all of a sudden, they find this fucking magical, like, you know, it took, like, this magic pill to get you to fucking like you again. And then it's, like, it's like that all over, like, you know, from day one. And then that lasts for, like, a couple days, and then they have to fucking start some shit again. It's like, it's that, what is it? What's that fucking ride called? Where it's got horses and a carousel. They got you on this fucking carousel chasing after your own tail to maintain that respect. It's like, dude, I love you when you respect me. Why the fuck do I have to constantly keep putting you in check? Now, what does this have to do with Corporal Upham? Corporal Upham had to make a very hard choice, right? Where he had enough. He had enough of being betrayed. He had enough of watching his brothers die. He had enough of being kind of like the boot. The rear end of the boot in the fucking squadron. Or platoon or whatever. He had enough of the fucking disrespect. He had enough of the fucking lying and the betraying. So he put that motherfucker down. Now, I remember that being a very hard choice to make for me with my ex. Because one day I looked at myself in the mirror and I realized that I was on this carousel. This never-ending carousel. I literally looked at myself in the mirror. I was drunk as fuck at the time, too. And that should be a reoccurring theme, right? Me being drunk and coming to these realizations, because I was never sober when I was with her. I really hate to say it, man. There were times when I was sober every once in a while. But those moments were a very few and far in between. And it sucks. Because I never drank. Or excuse me, I stopped drinking. I had like 2 or 3 years sober when I met her. And when we got together, it was just like she pressured me into drinking. I remember saying like, "No, I don't want to drink." And then her just like trying to force a fucking beer down my throat. And I was just like, "All right, I'll like calm back, like calm down. Like, all right, I'll have half a beer." And then she would tease me about not drinking the other half, and then she would drink it, and I'd be like, okay, like, come on, like, we don't have to drink. Like, what the fuck? I want to enjoy you sober. And the next day I came over, it was just another peer pressure, and it just like, fuck, dude, like, I'm never gonna, you know, fine, I'll get buzzed with you. Once I got buzzed, it was like, that wasn't enough, now I need to get hammered, and hammered wasn't enough, so I need to get fucking shit-faced, and it's just like, god damn. Finally, like, after a while, I just got used to it. Like, being completely fucking demolished every goddamn time I'd see her. But I just remember looking at myself in the mirror, and I had a buzz. And I just, I thought, like, the only way that I'm gonna ever maintain my respect with this girl is if I fucking sabotage our relationship. The only way I'm ever gonna look at myself in the mirror again with any kind of dignity is if I fucking end this. But I can't pull the trigger. She's got to do it, because I don't have the heart to do it. And so I started to, very tactfully and very psychologically, very deliberately destroy our relationship. I just started stonewalling and I just stopped caring. I started caring about myself. And I just remember making that hard fucking choice every goddamn time. Every day. Every time she would do something, I would just have to pull the trigger on that relationship. It was a slow death. Watching, you know, having the person go from my best friend to my mortal enemy, that was hard. It hurt every goddamn day. When she finally realized what I was up to, and she let me go, I felt a sense of freedom. Like, thank God I don't have to do this anymore, but I knew that the road to recovery was going to be difficult. I didn't realize it was going to be so hard that it was going to take years to get out of. Because the narcissist had me chasing my fucking tail for respect. One day it would be gone, and then I'd have to fight for it back, and then once I'd get it back, I felt like we were close again. And then it would be gone, and then I'd have to fucking get it back again. You know what I mean? The only time that I ever felt like we were truly in a bond together was when I had my respect. When she respected me, I felt like we were so close. And it just, like, it got to a point where it's like, fuck, man. What the fuck do I got it? What's that one song? Was it like Got to Give Me No Reason? I can't remember how that fucking song goes. Oh, dude, now the song's stuck in my head. Now I can't think. Any case, having to constantly fucking battle for that was getting so fucking annoying. And I remember telling her one day, like, we were drunk and we were at a hotel room. And she's like, do you love me? And I was like, dude, I love you more than I've ever loved anybody in my life. I just can't fucking stand you sometimes. And she said, what, like, why? And I said, because I constantly have to feel like I've got to battle for my respect back from you. It's like one day you just can't fucking stand me and you just can't fucking look me in the eye because I didn't, you know, I didn't have enough money for your fucking gas that one day. Or I couldn't have enough money for, you know, your food. You go out and you spend recklessly, and then I gotta bail you out of the situation. When I can't bail you out, you fucking lose respect for me. How is that my fucking fault? I gotta take care of myself. I don't have child support coming in. I don't have a fucking state check coming in. I don't have, you know, family fucking lending me money here and there. I'm on my own. I'm literally on my fucking own. If I had the help that you have by the state, by my family, are you fucking kidding me? I'd be off the streets. I'd be out of my fucking parents' house or out of my uncle's house. I'd be off doing my own thing, and she just didn't fucking get it. She's like, I'm spending our money, or I'm spending my money on us right now. It's like, yeah, but I keep telling you we could be going and hanging out at my place. Or can I just go to your house and hang out? We could be having this moment together at your fucking house. Wait, well, it wasn't really her house. She was living with her family. Do you see what I mean? It was like we could have been doing that shit on the cheap. But no. She had to fucking get not just a hotel room, an expensive, like, $250 hotel room. Because she couldn't fuck in anything cheap. She had to get an expensive bottle of fucking vodka because she couldn't fuck with anything cheap. Like, living this bullshit lifestyle. And it bothered me. Because it's like, dude, I'm a gutter punk. I'm a street skater. A fucking beer at a park is just as good as you know, drinking at the Taj Mahal. As long as you have good company and a good conversation, nothing can stop. Nothing can compare. Nothing will ever compare. A fucking, you know, a beer on a yacht is just as good as a beer at a park. Because I value the company that I'm with, and the conversations that I have, not where it's at, not what I'm drinking. And she didn't seem to understand that. She didn't have that value or that concept. And so we were constantly fucking broke. Or she was constantly, excuse me. She was constantly broke. I was trying to take care of myself with my fucking $300, $400 checks here and there. So she would pull in like $1,300 a week. And then she would turn around and say like, hey, I need help because I spent all our money, you know. Had to buy the kids this, had to do that. And it's like, dude, I'm broke. You think $300 or $400 is going to last me? $700 every 2 weeks? Like, dude, I'm done. I'm tapped out. What? You don't have any money? Like, no. Remember? Like, I had to pay for the fucking bar tab. Oh, I paid way more than that. It's like, well, hold on. I'm not trying to debate who paid what. I'm just saying, like, I'm tapped out. Oh, you're always tapped out. You never have anything to give me. And then it would just turn into an argument. And then having to battle for my respect back. It's like, look, motherfucker. I didn't talk to her like that. It was more like, dude, stop fucking arguing with me. Look, like this is what's happening. You spent all your fucking money at the hotel room. Well, yeah, but that was for us. Yeah, but I told you, we didn't need that expensive ass hotel room. We definitely didn't need a $250 hotel room for how many hours? Dude, the Hyatt fucking... Dude, those expensive ass hotels suck dick. Because the moment you clock in, it doesn't matter what time you clock in, you better be out of there by 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock in the morning. No excuses. They don't give you 24 hours. You have to fucking clock out at that time. And I was so pissed because I even told her, like, dude, they're telling us verbatim, well, I did it to be romantic. It's like, you don't need that fucking hotel room. I told you. For that same price, we could have gotten fucking one cheap hotel room for 2 nights. You didn't fucking listen. You didn't want to listen. Well, I wanted it to be romantic. And it's like, no, you didn't. You wanted it to be fucking bougie. Because this is for you. This isn't for me. How about that fucking, you know, dude, I remember one time she spent like $150 on a bottle of vodka. And I was like, what the fuck? How the fuck does a bottle of vodka cost $150? It just like, dude, this fucking chick would just do stupid shit like that all the time. And then she would fucking disrespect me by like, oh, well, you didn't pay this. You didn't pay that. You always do this. You always fucking value, you know, put a value on how much I spend on you. It's like the only thing you care about is how much money I spend on you. It's like, no, I never brought that fucking argument up. You did. And then it would just go into a fucking vicious cycle of trying to break that down and try to bring her back to earth. Because she would paint these fucking pictures of shit in her head. That I never fucking once said. So I would have to like just bring her back down to earth. And that shit would piss me the fuck off. Till finally I just started becoming like up'em. I had enough. I'm sabotaging this shit. Yeah, you know what? You're right. What? You don't care? I don't. I don't give a shit about this relationship. What? What do you mean? We've been together for so... Yeah, it sucks, doesn't it? Oh, well. I remember one time, like, she asked me, like, what do you want to do? And I was just like, fuck, at a hotel room? Wait, you don't want to go out for to eat? Like, no, that's fucking stupid. It's a waste of money. I already ate. I ate a peanut butter sandwich and a scotch. So, hotel room and fuck? Well, I want to go out to the bar. And like, you go ahead and go out to the bar. I'm not going to another fucking bar. I'm sick and tired of going to fucking bars. Till this day, dude. Like, the only reason why I go to Stoney's is because the people there are actually pretty chill. They still maintain this level of chivalry where it's like the women keep to themselves. The women fuck with the women and the guys mess, you know, hang out with the guys. I miss that. That's why I go to the church that I go to. because there's this like level of understanding, like you stay with your, you stay by yourself until we bring you in. You don't fucking roam around just trying to talk to any girl. You kind of scope it out a little bit. You ask to be invited into the circle. So that's the only reason why I used to go to that bar. I don't anymore. I'm too broke to fucking go there. So any case, yeah, she tries to pull that bullshit, right? And I got fucking tired of it. I got so sick. I got so fed up and so tired of it. Well, I mean, you get it. You have enough of it. When there's somebody who's not psychologically there, when there's somebody constantly measuring everything in terms of pluses and minuses, when they're constantly trying to impress themselves and not you, when they're not present in the relationship, you're done. That relationship is fucking over. And it's not something that you did. It's something that they fucking sabotaged. So there's nothing that you can do other than just do what Upham does. I had enough. I'm not being played again. I'm not dealing with this bullshit. And you could see the fucking tragedy in his face, right? He didn't want to do it. But he gave that motherfucker a chance. He told him to shut up because he didn't want him to fucking reignite any. He punished the guy for trying to bond with him. The guy was like, hey, I know this guy. Up him. Nope. You fucking shot my goddamn captain. I told you to shut the fuck up. And now you want to be friends with me after I just gave you a chance not to shoot at me and my friends? Fuck you. And he puts him down. That's exactly how I felt every fucking time I would talk to my ex. It's like, dude, I already know where this is going to go. We're going to go out, we're going to get drunk, you're going to go broke, and then you're going to fucking blame it on me because you decided to spend money on an expensive-ass hotel room. Because you decided to spend money on all this fucking alcohol that I told you we didn't need. We could be at your house, we could be bonding with your family, but you don't want to do that. You want to fucking live your life like a fucking child, going out and spending money all the fucking time. And then right when I would get my respect back, there used to be a time when I would get my respect back and then bond with her, like try to heal or mend the wound that I created. And at that point, I'm like, I'm not doing that shit anymore. I want her to fucking feel that sting so that she can learn her fucking lesson. And what does she do? Well, I don't want to be a part of this abusive relationship. This is fucking toxic. I think I'm going to go suck another fucking dick. Because I need to feel validated. I need to feel good about the fucking stupid, dumbass choices that I make. So what does she do? She finds another guy. Who's going to buy into her bullshit. Who's going to feed into her fucking narcissistic stupidity. And I wasn't having it. I wasn't going to fucking put up with that. I was fucking done. I was clocked the fuck out at that point. So, what did I do? I moved on. Mentally. I was clocked the fuck out. I became a new man. I stood my fucking ground. And for 3 years, dude, I fucking sobbed and I cried. And dude, when she left, it didn't hit me right away. I think it took me like 4 months for it to kick in. Like the realization that she's gone. I realized like, oh fuck, she's really, really gone. That used to be my best friend. And then I would reminisce about the good moments that we had. And then I would have to fucking like... force myself to remember all the pain that I went through. And then I'd have like this seesaw of I miss her, I love her, I hate her, I fucking can't stand her, right? That seesaw, that back and forth just fucking killed me. Until one day I realized that the only way that I'm going to let this go is if I go back and relive that moment. I have to go back to her. I have to. There is no other choice. I have to remind myself why I fucking left. And so when we got back together, I was a better person. I wasn't playing that fucking bullshit game anymore. But I still loved her. And I let her know that. But I had my guard up. It's like, no, dude, I'm not letting you get away with this stupid bullshit. Like, I told you. I even recorded our conversations just so I can fucking, like, throw it in her face and remind her, like, hey, this is what you said. I would try to, like, make it into a joke that, like, I would record us, like, ha 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 ha. This is funny, isn't it? And then I'd be like, yeah, that's the reason why I recorded it. It was because I want to show you your fucking foolishness. We're sitting there. I remember, like, the first time we argued was over something stupid. The girl that I was, you know, she wanted to drink and drive. And then this guy was like, hey, that beer that you guys have, is it good? And I'm like, yeah, you want to try one? And I gave him a beer. And he's like, cool, man. And I was like, yeah, no problem. And he takes off, right? And then she's arguing with me, like, she's getting mad at me, like, why the fuck did you throw my beer away and then give him one? And it's like, because, dude, that guy, I'm not driving with that guy. That guy's not in the car with me. Like, at that point, she really didn't give a fuck. Like, I remember, like, when we first met, she really just did not give a single flying fuck about who the fuck she was riding with. Not realizing, like, hey, if I get pulled over and there's a DUI involved, I'm getting arrested and he's stranded here. You know what I mean? In the deepest part of Los Angeles where it's difficult to fucking get a bus back home to. She didn't give a flying fuck. And so, because of that, you know, I took initiative. I was like, dude, I'm looking out for my safety. You're clearly not looking out for mine. And it was like, she didn't take our relationship serious, so when we got back together, I didn't take it serious. And I started to record it so I can remind her, like, hey, you got another man's name tattooed on you. I'm not going to take you serious until you take that shit off. And she's just like, oh, I'm not going to take it off. It's a fucking memory. All right, well then, I'm not going to take you serious. I'm not going to spend a dime on you. I'm not going to fucking plan days with you. I'm not going to... All that, like, planning dates and shit, that's for people that I'm going to take serious to get married with. I'm not going to do that. You've got 3 kids with a fucking crack addict. So no, I'm not going to take you fucking serious. You either have my kids get married, get that shit off your fucking finger, or we just play around. Let's just fuck. Well, I don't want to do that. Oh, well, then I don't want to be with you. What the fuck? Like, what the fuck kind of stupid shit is that? You really want to use up my time for free? Oh, well, you're using my time too. Yeah, but my time's more valuable because I'm not going to be here long enough. I'm not going to be here till I'm 70 and 80 the way that you are. Make sense? Like, I'm fine being on my own. I'm fine being alone. I'm fine just fucking... You know what I mean? It's actually one of the happiest moments that I've ever had. Is being able to just be alone. Think about things that have fucking destroyed me over the years. Like, my buddies, they can't be alone. This is why they have to jump from fucking pussy to pussy to pussy. My buddy's not even fucking divorced and he's already got another chick. Literally, the day he made the decision in his head that he no longer wants to be with that woman anymore, that night he went out and fucking tried to, like, pick up on a chick. And he was just on the hunt. Yeah, I've got, like, these 7 dating apps. And I'm like, god damn, bro. And I even told him, like, do you really desperately need to have a chick in your life that bad? Well, no, it's just, it'd be nice to, you know, just have some pussy. And it just went from having some pussy to, like, oh, yeah, me and this girl have this spiritual bond. And I'm like, oh, God. Can't be alone, dude. And she's the exact same way. She can't, like, she just got out of a divorce. Like, the divorce was finalized the night we met her. And I was just like, oh, Jesus Christ. Like, no, like another one of these guys. Like, dude, fuck. How the fuck do I get myself involved with these people? That's, like, one of the biggest issues that I have is, like, how the fuck do these people keep circling into my life? I hear a problem. I was like, oh, yeah, it sounds to me like that's narcissistic abuse. Oh, really? What is that? Like, just sucking all the fucking energy out of me. Like, God, get off me, you fucking emotional leech. I'll go figure it out yourself. Jesus Christ. Oh, hey, want to go out for a beer? God damn it. Are we hanging out? Yeah, we're going to hang out. All right. Cool. We're going to hang out, though, right? Yeah, yeah, it's just me and you. All right, you sure? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, hey, this is our friend. This is my friend Kristen, Heatherly. God damn it, dude. I thought it was just going to be me and you. Well, yeah, but, you know, I met this girl. And just like, why the fuck am I here? I'm the third wheel. Has no fucking clue that they just fucking isolated me out like that. Oh, well, Crimson, why don't you go out and get some pussy? Like, because I don't want it. I don't want it. I don't want it in my fucking life. Like, every time I stop and think about it, like, here's the thing, right? Because I'm contradicting myself. I go out, I hunt for it, and then when I come back, I get disappointed, and then I'm like, oh, wait a minute, I just dodged a bullet. Because the last time I allowed a fucking chicken in my life, all this fucking drama happened. And any time I bring a fucking chicken to my life, one, I'm financially fucking bankrupt, two, emotionally bankrupt, and three, I have no fucking life. Because they just need to just suck my time, my energy, my money, my finances, like my shelter, my food. They have to just fucking tap into every resource I have. And those chicks that are financially and well off and shit, they want nothing to do with me. So it's one or the other. It's either I go after the fucking baddies that are like, I'm too, like, ain't nobody want to deal with this because I'm so, what do they say? I'm a boss ass bitch. Come on, baby, you can't handle this shit. You just insecure. Hey, baby, what's up? Ugh, motherfucker. Get your broke ass away. Sorry, I don't mean to get into character. That's just the way my brain works. I'm trying to get serious here. But that's my point, dude. It's just, I tried to fucking hit on a chick, and then she immediately recoiled. She gives me her number, we're flirting, we're jiving, we're fucking... And then the moment I'm like, hey, you know, I think you have a beautiful smile. What? Ugh, you fucking weird. Alright, we're done. Let me just go ahead and delete block this number. So now every time we meet up, it's just like she's giving me this weird look, and I just look at her like with disdain. Like, you fucking disgusting piece of shit. Like, you really gonna look at me like that after I try to hit on you? After you fucking sucker me in like that, you piece of shit? We have a fucking moment, we vibe, we jive. I give you my number. You text me, and then the moment I tell you, like, hey, I have a small crush on you. I think you look cute. Huh? What? Huh? Well, what part of hanging out did you, like, did you really think we were gonna hang out and just be friends and smoke weed together? Like, fucking losers? No. Fucking weirdo. So it's like, yeah, alright, I dodged a bullet. That's right. That's right. I forgot. Hypergamy, you know, the fucking, you know, sexual market value, the metric. Okay, yeah, all that red pill shit. Okay, yeah, right. How about this? Instead of all that red pill shit, she was going to be a lot of drama in my life. That's right. I remember her telling me that she's got some problems with her ex, that she's got some bullshit going on. All right. You know, we like the same music. We like the same, you know, functions. We do this, like, right. We see shit identically the same, but she's got all these other problems in her life. That's right. I forgot. Right. Okay, well, fucking moving on then. I dodged a bullet there. Thank fucking God. And then here comes my buddy. Hey, man, me and my wife, we just had this fucking huge argument. Oh, yeah? What was it about? Oh, well, she says that I'm not reciprocating enough, you know, energy into this relationship. And I was like, what the fuck? Fuck her, you know? Well, have you ever just stopped to, I don't know, listen to her to see what the problem is? Maybe you guys can fix it if you... No, dude, fuck her. Why the fuck is she... All right, whatever, dude. Instead of trying to fix your relationship, you're going to go out to the bar and you know, fuck some other random chick. Oh, awesome. Awesome. I don't want to hear it, man. He's just like... I'm just like going up him on everything in my life, right? It's like, all right, you know what? I'm sick and tired of this shit. Just fucking pull up my M1 Grand and kaplow! Kaplow! Shut up! Kaplow! Fucking German bitch. All right, yeah, I think this is long enough. But my point is just, fuck. I deal with this shit so often. And I see this shit all the time, man. Men having to, like, force their respect back. And that shouldn't have to be the case. You shouldn't have to fucking demand your respect back. You shouldn't have to put up a fucking boundary and remind them, like, hey, this is the fucking boundary that I'm putting up. But here's the thing. If the boundary was never established in the beginning, if it was never respected in the beginning, it's not going to be respected at all. There's going to be an unspoken agreement on her end that she's going to constantly, habitually overstep that boundary because she doesn't see it. She doesn't respect it. And the way that she sees the dynamic of the relationship is like, you're my servant, not the other way around. And it's really fucking pathetic and sad is because as men, we have this unwritten understanding of like, hey, I won't cross your boundaries and I'll take the time to figure out what that is without asking you. I'll figure it out. Right? I'll figure out what your boundaries are and I'll slowly start to push the envelope. And then when I push the envelope too far, you're going to put me in check and I'll realize like, oh fuck, I didn't realize that I couldn't do that. I didn't realize I couldn't say that. My mistake. That was my fault. Women don't do that. They're like, oh, this is the boundary you don't like? Okay, well, here, let me keep crossing it in order to get you to fucking act right. In order to get you to obey my fucking commands, my orders, my obedience, my this, my that, in order to get what I want from you, I'm going to continue to cross this boundary that is so that you so prize so much. In order to get you to fucking bend and knee at my fucking will, I'm going to continue to cross this boundary that you fucking cherish so goddamn much. Right? Talking shit about your mom, bringing up, you know, your exes, bringing up your pain, bringing up all this other shit. And then the moment that you fight back, hey, what the fuck? How many fucking times do I got to tell you to stop talking about that shit? It fucking bothers me. Stop bringing this shit up. Stop fucking hurting me. Stop doing this. Stop fucking doing it. Oh, well, okay. Well, fine. And you're like, oh, finally. Fuck, I got my respect back. 2 days later. Just rinse and repeat. And then you're stuck in that loop. And I can't fucking stand being in relationships like that. The moment that a chick fucking starts doing that shit, I'm already like... I'm already got my fucking finger hovered over that eject button. All right, here we go. T minus 5, 4. All right. Not gonna deal with this. I'll just ghost this bitch before even that shit even happens. But I'm just so sick and tired of seeing. First off, I'm sick and tired of hearing my friends bitch and whine about it because they're the ones that put themselves in that situation. And secondly, I'm sick and tired of them fucking coming up to me for answers, and when I give them the answer, they don't follow through with it. It's like, dude, this person's narcissistically abusing you. Get the fuck away from them. Oh, I can't. I love them. All right, then shut up. Don't bring it up anymore.
Well, how come I can't talk about my feelings with you?
Because I'm not a bitch. I want to talk about shit that matters. I want to talk about shit that's funny.
No, well, come on, man. Why can't we?
Fucking faggot. Look, I'll talk about your problems, your emotional bullshit, and the shit that you're going through with your family. Once, maybe twice. I'm not going to do that all the fucking time. And dude, what pisses me off the most is, like, one of, like I said, the buddy that's barely going through the divorce, and he's already got this new chick around his fucking, you know what I mean? That bothers me. It bothers me because it's like, dude, you checked out emotionally a long time ago. Don't get me wrong, he tried to make it work. He tried. As limp-wristed as that attempt was, he tried. And I can give him credit for that. But immediately jumping on some new pussy because he just can't stand to be alone, that is the weakest shit. I just like, ugh. That is the weakest shit on planet fucking Earth. I can understand doing that in your 20s. Not in your fucking 40s. Especially at 45. Come on, man. Like, you really need fucking pussy around you that fucking badly? And then here's the thing. The chick's not even putting out. She's got him on standby. And then he's going to sit there, and I'm like, hey, dude, has she sucked your dick yet? And he's like, no. Well, then, what the fuck? And he's like, no, dude, it's beyond that, man. It's like something spiritual. We've got, like, a great connection going on. You know what? You can have a bit deeper connection with your dick inside her. Because that's all she really is, dude.
No, nuh-uh. No, she understands me. Okay.
Like, no, she doesn't, bro. She's going through her own divorce. She's going through her own fucking battles, her own fucking pain. She's HR in our competing company. The first thing that came out of her mouth was, you know, by the way, like, I'm a part of your competition. She's already seeing you as competition. This is just a game to her. This is just another stepping stone to her. You're accomplishing one of fucking three things in her life. One, defeating her enemy, you know, financially. Two, getting her emotional validation. And three, keeping you around as a pet, as a companion. You're like a fucking nano. What are those gigapets? Remember that shit? It was like an electronic pet that you kept around in your pocket. Anytime you needed some emotional stimuli, you just fucked around with that. Yeah, that shit pissed me off. It's like, dude, you don't understand that you're fornicating with the fucking enemy. Not even fornicating with the enemy. He's like, I don't shit where I eat. Like, right? That's his whole fucking thing. Which, by the way, he got from me. Yeah, I don't fucking dip my wick in the company ink or whatever the fuck he says. I don't fish at the company pond. No, but you'll go to the competitor and fish over there. Like, what the fuck are you thinking? Guy doesn't fucking stop to think about the future consequences of this. This bitch, like, literally knows all of our company secrets because of this guy. He could collapse this company and then that's it. I'm ass out of a job. I'm trying to accomplish some goals before then. Doesn't give a shit. Doesn't give a shit about his dick and himself. And this is the type of shit that I'm dealing with. Right? This is why I go up him. Ooh. Ooh. You know what? I think that's what I'm going to call this video. I think I'm going to end it there. Going up 'em. Guard your heart.